Imagination. Max Planck, considered the founding father of quantum theory, writes, "New ideas are not generated by deduction, but by an artistically creative imagination." Whereas Cape Kennedy is the launching pad for sending rockets to outer space, the unfettered creative imagination is the launching pad for the greatest revelations in physics. Not merely breaking the Earth's atmosphere, imagination, in Wheeler's words, having an imaginative eye, can take us beyond space and time. Freeman Dyson comments, "The glory of science is to imagine more than we can prove." Imagine an imagination gone hog wild without having to prove anything to anyone. This is the starting point for the best of what science has to offer. Regarding the laws of physics that govern the behavior of the quantum world, Einstein is of the opinion that there is no logical path to these laws, and that only intuition, resting on sympathetic understanding of experience, can reach them. Speaking about the behavior of quantum entities, Feynman says, "We have to learn about them in a sort of abstract or imaginative fashion, and not by connection with our direct human experience." On the one hand, there is nothing like the behavior of the subatomic world in our world, and yet, at the same time, the quantum realm is mirroring something deep within us, reflecting back to us something within ourselves. The quantum realm is extremely close to us, closer than close, in fact, both unfamiliar and intimately familiar at the same time. Quantum physics could not have been predicted beforehand or be derived from the previously existing classical physics. Wheeler counsels, "Don't try to derive quantum theory. Treat it as supplied free of charge from on high." In this comment, Wheeler is pointing at the revelatory aspect of quantum theory. Great scientific discoveries often come, to quote the renowned physicist Baron Carl Friedrich von Weizsäcker, as an inspiration or a special gift of grace which comes to the researcher when and as it pleases, like the answer from another authority, whose origin, he continues, is not from the ego, but from a more comprehensive self. This higher authority uses the creative imagination as its instrument of revealing itself. Wheeler personally felt that it was the vividness of his imagination that enabled him to entertain the outlandish notions he was regularly known for, ideas that other more traditional physicists have great reluctance in even considering. Likewise, when asked why he does quantum mechanics, Feynman replied, "Because it is a great adventure in imagination." One of the things that makes science so difficult is that it takes a lot of imagination. In physics, Feynman comments, "Our imagination is stretched to the utmost, not as in fiction, to imagine things which are not really there, but just to comprehend those things which are there." In other words, creative imagination is itself an instrument to access reality. Jung writes, "I am indeed convinced that creative imagination is the only primordial phenomenon accessible to us, the real ground of the psyche, the only immediate reality." In any case, there is a deep and intimate correlation between what we call reality and the reality-creating function of the creative imagination. Our personal imagination is coextensive with and an iteration of the divine creative imagination, but if it is still entertained by the prevailing classical worldview, it imagines a solid, objectively existing universe that we then imagine has nothing to do with our imagination. This is to say that via our creative imagination, we can conjure up an experience of a very convincing physical reality that appears to be utterly independent of our imagination. Ironically, the very imagination whose reality-shaping creative power we are denying happens to be the source of our experience. It is as if the creative genius of our imagination is, through its boundless power to create our experience of reality, denying its own existence. We are then wielding our sacred creative imagination to deny a fundamental aspect of our being, and then conjuring up evidence to support our case. Wheeler writes that the pursuit of science is more than the pursuit of understanding. It is driven by the creative urge, the urge to construct a vision, a map, a picture of the world that gives the world a little more beauty and coherence than it had before. Somewhere in the child, this urge is born. Hopefully, our innate creative urge, the natural impulse within us to imagine and/or create a more beautiful world, is not eradicated by our family, our educational system, or our society before we become capable of bringing our new ideas and visions to fruition. Wheeler elaborates, Anyone who expects to create, be it as a scientist or artist, scholar or writer, needs self-confidence, even bravado. How else can one dare to imagine understanding what no one else has understood, discovering what no one else has discovered? Where does this confidence come from? Fortunately, every young person is blessed with some of it. It is part of human character. To quote philosopher John Dewey, every great advance in science has issued from a new audacity of imagination. The basis of all the mind-blowing technology in the world today arose from people who had the courage and daring to imagine. They had what Einstein refers to as a courageous scientific imagination. Let us bravely follow in their footsteps.